Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And regular listeners know that I try to bring a lot of different news to talk about, talking about what's going on in Congress and the administration, giving you sources that I have from my contacts, the former congressional counsel, and yes, bringing in knowledgeable guests. We're going to be doing a lot of that this week. But occasionally, I think it's important not just to discuss the facts, not just to give you the news that the mainstream media isn't reporting. Sometimes I think it's important to discuss who we are as a nation. What is the United States of America? What is our philosophy? Who should we be? These tend to be the shows that bring in a lot of calls, and of course, we always welcome your calls here on the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. The topic today is one that sounds deceptively simple, but it really isn't. The question is the United States of America a Christian nation? And again, it seems like an easy question, but there's all kinds of disagreement we can already have, including on what the definition of Christian is. Of course, I don't mean small c, Christian. There is, of course, the view in the dictionary of Christian, small c, as being charitable nature and caring for your fellow human being. I would hope we're that kind of country. I would hope to promote that kind of country, but that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the United States a Christian nation with a capital C, a nation whose government should endorse Christianity, the religion Christianity? And even that poses a question. Which version of Christianity? Should it be Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox religion? Within Protestant, of course, there's wide disagreement among Southern Baptists and Methodists and Mormons and Quakers and Presbyterians and all kinds of Christians. But this question seems to be coming up time and time again. In fact, one of the interesting things is that when I posted it to my blog, we got about 54 pages of discussion. So it's clearly an issue that, well, at least a lot of people are thinking about, particularly after this election, when it seems that the religious right won so much of this election. But I want to tell you how I came to this question, because I think I came at it in a very different way, and it may surprise you. I came at this question because of an email my mother sent me. My mother will send me political emails from time to time. And this email was from the Jewish Federation. It was an email about a meeting of the Jewish Federation, which is a number of Jewish charity groups that come together. And it was a speech given by Shoshana Carden, sometimes known as the First Lady of Jewish Volunteers and a past president of the organization. Here's what she had to say. She said, "We have to recognize, I guess we meaning we Jews, have to recognize that we are in a wonderful host country. But the calendar is Christian, and the values that are being espoused now by Middle America, if you will, are Christian values. And we have to speak up and express our values, which are not identical." She was giving as an example the difference between religious Christians and religious Jews about when life begins. Of course, that's the whole abortion debate. She goes on to say that George Bush said that he would reach out to those who share my goal. Carden said that doesn't exactly include me, and I don't know if it includes you. To reach out means to all, not only to those who share his goals. And the picture is disconcerting but realistic. Shoshana Carden's point, and it's interesting because she's a registered Democrat who said that she voted for Bush because of the war on terrorism, but she was pointing out that George Bush has said that he won't reach out to all Americans. No, he will only reach out to those who share his goals, and that by saying that, it excluded the 49% of America that didn't vote for Bush. But to me, that wasn't the shocking part of her speech. I know George Bush doesn't reach out to those who disagree with him. That anyone who's followed national policy for the last 4 years knows that George Bush does not reach out to anyone who does not share his goals. And indeed, that's exactly what Bush said. That, to me, was not controversial. To me, what was interesting about what Shoshana Carden had to say was the first part of her speech. We have to recognize that we are in a wonderful host country. We are guests in a wonderful, wonderful society because we are free to worship as we feel. But once again, we are afraid. You know, it really rankled me, I have to say, that she said that. Are we really just guests in a host country? Are non-Christians really just guests here? I mean, Shoshana Carden, I beg to disagree. I am an American. This is my country. I'm not a guest in anyone's country. I'm sorry, I was born here. My parents were born here. My grandparents. And it's not a question of whether you're born here or not. A naturalized citizen. People come from all over the globe to come to America to be Americans. And one of the reasons they do that is to escape religious persecution. It's one of the things, in fact, that our founders considered most important in founding the United States of America because they themselves escaped religious persecution. And much of it, intra-Christian persecution. One group of Christians not allowing the Puritans to practice as they feel, and another group not allowing Catholics to practice, and they came to Maryland and so forth. But the point is, are we Jews? Are agnostics? Are atheists? Are Buddhists? Muslims? Unitarians? Are we just guests in a host country? I don't think so, but I want to hear what you think about it. And I want to talk in general about the whole concept of the United States as a Christian nation instead of as a nation that welcomes those of all religions. If you want to call in toll-free, you're always welcome to do so. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. And you know, when it comes to the question of whether a Christian nation, you got to ask which Christianity, right? Because a lot of Catholics will tell you that they were mistreated, if you will, in majority Protestant areas. And what about non-fundamentalist Protestants? What about those liberal Protestants? We've had people on this blog say that they are not true Christians, that if you believe in gay rights, if you believe in pro-choice, then you're not a real Christian. We've had Catholic priests refuse to give the sacrament to John Kerry because his views on abortion. Not that he supported abortion, he didn't, but he supported the right of other people to make that choice. And what about those that aren't religious at all, right? Those that spend more time at football games than church. Maybe those who watch Baywatch instead of The Passion of the Christ. Are they non-American? Are they not part of this Christian nation? What about single mothers? Are we merely guests in a fundamentalist Christian America that at best tolerates our heresy? What does that mean? And then when I even ask the question, I already know the response that I expect to get. I already know what I got in the blog. Many feel that to even ask this question is offensive. It's offensive to Christianity. So let me be very clear about what I'm asking here. It's very different to talk pro or against a specific religion. I really would hope we don't do that this hour. I don't want to judge whether Christianity is better than Islam, is better than Judaism, is better than atheism. That's not my point. I, in fact, emphatically want to say that every person who believes in a religion or chooses not to believe in a religion is respected in my eyes as long as they practice goodwill toward humanity. I don't want to judge whether someone is keeping the Jewish kosher laws right or following fundamentalist Christian practices and whether they should drink on Sundays or not dance on Sundays. I don't want to judge that. I don't want to judge whether someone's a good Catholic. That's not my point. My point is, should we have a government that judges this? Should we have a government that decides whether or not we are good Christians, whether or not we're good Jews, whether or not we're good religious people? And for those of you that want prayer in schools, please tell me, who gets to decide what's the prayer? who gets to decide which version of religion is sponsored by our government? I tell you, I think they're very difficult questions, and I want to hear from you. Toll free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hiya, Mark. I'm calling finally. I think these are the last days of my mourning.
Okay.
For the country. This is Rod from New York.
Hey, Rod. How are you?
Well, I've been better.
Yeah. It's tough. Do you think that George Bush is trying to make us into a Christian nation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's his base. Aside from they're very wealthy, his base are a bunch of religiosos.
And I don't mean to attack religion. Look.
Not at all.
I just want to be very, very clear, because I know I'm going to get some negative response here. I respect people's religion. Where the respect ends is when the government is enforcing that religion on the rest of us.
Absolutely.
So I just want to make that very clear.
Evangelism is impinging on other people's rights.
You know, to the extent that evangelism, and you know, we've been playing with definitions. Like I said, I tried to print out the blog for today's show, and it took 54 pages, and I decided, you know what, I won't print it out. But to the extent that evangelism means people going around trying to persuade other people to accept their religious views, again, I don't have a problem with it.
If that's a tricky word, then proselytizing might fit better.
Well, again, proselytizing, evangelism, conversion. People have the right, in my view, and maybe you disagree with me, Ron, people have the right, in my view, to try to persuade others to accept their religion. My problem is when it comes to the government. My problem is when the government is doing proselytizing, when the government is doing evangelism. That's my concern. But go ahead. What was your point?
Well, I think it's interesting. I don't know if I got the quote right, but Mr. Bush claims to be reaching out. Now, how can he be reaching out to those that share his views?
Yeah, I don't think he needs to reach out to them. I think they're already with him.
He has really pretty painfully short arms, although they do get longer when he's reaching for oil.
Right. Now, that's true. That's true. Let me ask you something, Rod, in terms of your religious background, if you don't mind, if that's okay. Because, you know, if you don't want to talk about it, that's... may I ask what your religious background is?
I'm Jewish.
Okay, you're Jewish. Well, let me ask you then what Shoshana Carden said, which, I mean, she's a well-respected a community fundraiser in the Jewish community, past president of the Jewish Federation, and she was talking about George Bush not reaching out, which I agree with her on, but what do you think of her statement at the beginning of her speech that we are guests in a wonderful host country?
Well, then where are we at home?
Well, exactly.
That's really the one that is appalling, by the way.
I thought it was. And again,
and
that wasn't
way,
even the point
as
of the article.
Widely respected, so is Meyer Kahane.
Well, you know, look, I don't want to attack the woman too much. I know she's done a lot of good, and she meant it, I think, in a positive light. I mean, she may have just chosen some bad words. She meant that, you know, it's really nice to be in a country that's majority Christian, that treats Jews so well. But to me, it really sounded like a beggar on the doorstep. Thank you. Thank you for treating us well. And look, you know, I know Jewish history. I know that Jews, you know, they did well under the Greeks, Alexander the Great, and then the Greeks persecuted them. They did well in Christian lands and then were persecuted. Muslim lands persecuted. Spain, Poland, Germany, they did very well and then were persecuted. But
it rose to the ranks of power. And then when someone couldn't get power legitimately, they'd turn and scapegoat and go the old monster route.
But see, I don't think America is like that. I just think America is different. One of the things that I've been discussing on my blog with various people is really what our founders were. And there are some that say, well, our founders were Christian. This is a Christian nation.
Wasn't Jefferson the only non-Christian president?
Well, Jefferson considered himself a deist.
Yes.
Which is a difficult concept, I think, for many of us, including me. But the idea is that... there's sort of a creator, but it's not specified as, for example, Jesus is the Son of God, or you know, I think you're right.
Not a bunch of dogma attached to it.
What's that?
Not a bunch of dogma.
No. I think it's much more of a naturalist religion. But to me, what's more interesting is not what his personal beliefs were, but how he set up our nation. You know, it is Jefferson who talked about a wall of separation between church and state. And who put in our First Amendment, which, by the way, is sponsored, it's very much designed, the Bill for Religious Freedom, is that Congress shall not establish a religion. And what's interesting, a lot of people don't know this, but we used to have, Maryland was established as Catholic. So if you were not Catholic, you did not belong to the state-established religions. The other colonies, most of them were Protestant.
What right did that infer, yeah?
Well, it meant that the government would have schools that would teach Catholicism. It meant that at one point there were religious tests for office, in fact, depending on the state. And it depends on which of the colonies. I don't believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe in colonial Maryland you could hold office if you were not Catholic. And what's interesting is that the Constitution specifically says there shall be no religious test for a higher office. And so our founders were already trying to change, recognize that we're a country of many faiths, many different views of Christianity, as well as Jews who have been in America since 1654, as well as non-believers. One of the most interesting polls I saw recently, could you accept a female president? And some 70% said yes. And could you accept a black president? And, 60-70%. Could you accept a Jewish president? 60-70%. Sometimes even higher. 80% said yes. But when asked if you could support an atheist president, it was a minority. 40% said yes. Even if, presuming this is a person who you agree with on all the issues, but the person's personal philosophy was atheist. I forget. It was like 45% for a gay president. It was lower for an atheist. Americans don't trust atheists. Even more than, I guess...
Shows like yours slowly.
Yeah, it's hard to truly believe in, and you fight the cause. In fact, one of the things that I think talk radio can do, in fact, is reach out to the 56 million Kerry supporters. And I don't just want them to listen. I know I've got some Bush listeners, Bush supporters who listen in, too. And try to have a dialogue. Try to understand, what we're thinking and... try to heal our nation a bit. Thanks
Mark,
very much. Yeah,
I
go ahead.
Make one more quick
sure, go ahead.
Statement. I feel like all of my issues, everything that I stood by for the election.
I'm going to be on Sasha's show. She's a radio host down in South Florida, and I'm going to talk about what's going on in Congress, the specifics here on my website as well, and we'll talk about a broken system.
All right.
Listen
Thanks.
In then. Thanks for your call.
What is it about conservatives who bill courage about the moral failings of the rest of us, yet they keep getting caught with their own pants down, morally speaking? I don't merely mean the Falwell, Swaggerts, and other publicly compromised televangelists, but also the right wing with an extra hypocrisy gene. It's not just in America, either. Britain is all a-Twitter these days about one of its own especially noisy tongue-cluckers, the Right Honorable Boris Johnson. He's the Latin-spouting, Eton-schooled editor of the right-wing Spectator, a London newspaper long tied to England's plutocratic Conservative Party. Indeed, Boris himself is a Conservative Party member of the Parliament, where he has served as the party's official spokesperson on cultural policies, freely criticizing the personal morality of now been remitted. The mistress, she had an abortion, and he tried to lie about it, initially calling the accusations an inverted pyramid of piffle. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a great phrase! Right-wingers lecturing us on morality are dumping a pyramid of political piffle on us.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricetin HBP. Use as directed.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington. Trying to take power, trying to get their judges appointed and everything. Some would argue that, in fact, Christians are being persecuted in America, that the majority is being persecuted. I got a lot are being mistreated by liberals. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that Christians are having a hard time in America and that this is really only their way to come back as fundamentalists and express their views? Or is it the case that they're trying to...
I think I share all of his fears and concerns, and if indeed Falwell and a few of his are going to be steering the ship, it's going to be a real tough time. My own is a free thinker, a humanist. Incidentally, four of our first five presidents were deists, and that was Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Monroe all were deists, and as they construed it, meant that there probably was some kind of a creator force that we know nothing about, but that he's either moved on or died and has no current interest in what's going on here.
Interesting.
In a church, Washington would never spell good.
Mount Vernon's near where I live. And
politically obligatory, but he would not genuflect. He would not, there would be no burning of candles or anything from George. It was the deist view was there is not a current force, a creative fundamentalist born-again country, and I can assure you that was not the case.
Well, of course, one of the interesting things about our Constitution and how it really differs from just about any other state of its time. I don't know of any country in the world in 1789, when our Constitution was... 1787 is when it was written, and then it was ratified in 1789. But in any case, I don't know of any other country in the world in the 1780s that would write a secular constitution. But ours is secular. There is no mention of God anywhere in the Constitution.
No, and Jefferson definitely didn't want that. And when he drafted the Declaration of Independence, there were some Christian fundamentalists that were saying, make it that God is guaranteeing these rights. And so he did get pressured enough to say,
endowed by our creator.
And of nature's God.
Yeah, what he said is endowed by our creator, without defining who that creator is and what that creator should be. But I got to tell you, Dave, you know, some of the people that have written into my blog, they want a lot more. One of them, I don't know if you've been reading these 54 pages. I think probably a lot of people are. It's hard to read through all that. But he believes that our government should indeed endorse Christianity, that in fact we need to amend our Constitution, get rid of the First Amendment, or at least modify the First Amendment, to say, in effect, the United States of America is a Christian nation, and then he would have public schools teach Christianity and only Christianity in the public schools. And he believes, but even though he says this, he says, but I support separation of church and state, I don't support a theocracy, all the other religions, they can have their schools too with vouchers, they just won't be the official public schools.
So much about this administration is so scary. In reality, I think he's hoping to be the first fundamentalist Ayatollah of the United States. And
well, you know, I don't know that Bush goes as far as some of my listeners do. But to me, it's just a very interesting question among us as Americans as to what we want as a country.
So much is so scary about this administration. They're going to privatize schools and Christianize them for sure, I think.
Yeah, it's me about something I worked on when I was in Congress. I worked on opposing, I should say, and that's George Bush's faith-based initiative. Now, I know a lot of Bush policies, they get all messed up. They show up in the press as one thing when really they do something else. But I can't think of a policy that got more misinformation than the faith-based initiative. And maybe it's just because I watched it so closely. I mean, I know there are environmental initiatives, Clean Skies that actually puts pollution in our skies, and Clean Water Act that puts mercury in our water. I know that. But what the faith-based initiative, what George Bush claimed it did, was release the armies of compassion, allow the government to fund private charities that did a lot of good, and it happened to be affiliated with various faiths. And it sure sounded good, and George Bush, in fact, went to various black churches because he knows how religious a lot of members of the African-American community are. He was trying to give them money to help. And yet what George Bush never pointed out is that our government has had partnerships with these religious organizations for a long time. ever since at least the 1960s, and I'm sure some of it dates older than that, the United States has given billions of dollars to groups like Catholic Charities, United Lutherans, Jewish Federation, religious organizations to use the money to do exactly what Bush claims that he wants them to do, things like stopping drug abuse or helping the homeless or providing job training programs, all that good stuff, and no one disputes the right of the government to do that. But until Bush's faith-based initiative, there was a caveat. There was a rule. And the rule was that if you were a religious organization, everybody, you had to hire everybody. If you're a Baptist church taking government money and running a soup kitchen, you couldn't turn away someone who came for soup on the grounds that he wasn't Baptist. You couldn't say, all right, you want to get this government soup? You got to pray here first, and we're going to hear your prayer. We're going to see if it's good enough. And if you won't pray to our God, you don't get the soup. Well, the Salvation Policy, and they did not want to serve people in the community that were gay. And even more so, some did. Even more so, they didn't want to hire people that were gay. So they wanted to take government funds to help poor people, but then they wanted to say, I'm sorry, we only help people who believe in our religious views. So what the faith-based initiative is designed to do, and that's its dirty little secret, that's, I don't know that anyone but Washington insiders like myself know, but I can prove it to you with the language of it if you need it. The dirty little secret of George Bush's faith-based initiative is that it takes a current law that works, government helping religious charities, and changes it to be discriminatory. If you vote for Bush's faith-based initiative, you are voting for prejudice. You are voting for government signs that say no Catholics served here, no Jews allowed, and in many cases, no blacks. After all, as Martin Luther King once pointed out, Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. If you want to know where the churches are, there are not too many blacks in majority white churches and not too many whites in majority black churches. We are largely segregated on Sunday morning. If you start doling out the federal money to churches that require that their members are the ones who get the money, whether it's the AME church in the black community or it's Bob Jones University in the white community, you are going to exclude not just on religion, but on the basis of race. And so I guess my question to you is, and I'd really like to hear if anyone can defend this view, but whatever your view, call in 877-57-SCOOP. But this idea of segregating us according to our various religions, of having the government fund religious schools, of having the government choose an officially endorsed religion. And of course, the real question is, who is it endorsing? Which religion will the government choose? There are many versions of Christianity. Do we want to go the route of Europe, which had so many religious wars and whose refugees came to America to come for religious freedom? And what about the argument that, well, many religious conservatives are making, and not just Christians, Orthodox Jews as well, fundamentalist Muslims as well, that America is against fundamentalist religion, that America persecutes or oppresses? Big fan of Orthodox religion. I happen to be a believing person myself, but I don't like any religion. I don't care whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism. I don't like any religion, any point of view, communism. I don't like any point of view that claims to have the entire truth. If there's one thing of which I'm absolutely certain, is that anyone who is absolutely certain of anything is wrong. Everything. But not tolerant of intolerance. And my question to you is, do you think that some of the complaints that the Christian right has about how they're being mistreated, that really it's a complaint about people not wanting to accept intolerance? And is that wrong? Toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
If we have the technology to track the movements of everyone in America, we should use it, right? No, shout most of us, proud that our country has fought from the start to prevent prying authorities from constantly keeping tabs on where we go and what would whisper today's technocratic Machiavellians. Children. Of course, we love our children and naturally want them to leave. There's the perfect opening for the snoopercrats. It's an insecure world, they darkly warn us. Terrorists, kidnappers, molesters, you name it. To protect children, we should electronically track them. It's out of love that we do this. Thus, the school district of Spring, Texas is now issuing radio frequency ID cards to its school kids so police can track each of them on a computer screen. Did little Jeannie stop off at her friend's house rather than going straight home after authorities know where she is? But, says one mother, you hear about all this violence. So, like keeping track of livestock and Walmart merchandise, parents have okayed the tracking of their own children. Indeed, authorities in Spring are now considering having the RFIDs implanted under the skin of each child. Then they could track them 24/7. Not everyone is thrilled. It's too big brother for me, says a 15-year-old student. Something about the school wanting to know the exact place and time makes me feel kind of like an animal. This is Jim Hightower saying, X2.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who'll explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them, and Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're discussing whether the United States of America is or should be a Christian nation. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Does it mean simply that the majority of America believes in a religion that's affiliated with Christianity? Why, if that means that, then obviously it's not controversial at all. There's no question the majority of Americans in their various faiths do consider themselves to be Christian. But the real question is, should our country be officially Christian? Most Americans appear to support prayer in schools. But the one thing I've never been able to understand is whose prayer? Whose prayer? Is it okay if it's a Catholic prayer or a Protestant prayer or a Mormon prayer or a Quaker prayer or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist? Or how about a prayer to no God at all from an atheist? And why is it that religious conservatives are now complaining so much about bigotry? This is one of the things I find really interesting and really new. It used to be that, well, Republicans or people on the right would complain whenever Democrats, when gay rights groups would claim people are homophobic, Jews would claim people are anti-Semitic, blacks, people are racist. The conservative would be quick to say, no, they're not. Stop all this political correctness. You know, it's not that big a deal. Get over it. Get over yourself. They may not like you, but it's not because they're racist or anti-Semitic or homophobic. And, you know, that had a certain resonance that people believed in political correctness. I mean, look at just recently, right? You had Trent Lott, and I'm thankful, by the way, to the editor of the New Republic, Peter Boehnert, for pointing this out. Trent Lott, of course, was the Republican Senate leader. And when he praised Strom Thurmond's 1948 bid for president, where Strom Thurmond supported segregation now and forever, people were embarrassed, but I don't know any Republicans that either called Strom Thurmond or Trent Lott a bigot. Even Jesse Helms. No, it was usually the Democrats saying that they were bigots. They weren't going to use that kind of word. But now what do we have? We now have frequent charging that the Democrats are bigots. James Dobson, a particularly bigoted, if I may say, a person who very much disagrees that gay people should have equal rights, the head of Focus on the Family. He called Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy, that's nice, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, a commentator, former Republican congressman, not someone who I think of as a particularly radical right person, said that he condemned those Democrats who take solace in their bigoted anti-Christian screeds. Michelle Malkin, a right-wing pundit, talked about a book that exposes the hypocrisy and bigotry of the secular anti-Christian left. Even Mary Madeline, James Carville's wife, has said that people of faith in the election process, they've been demonized and been treated with disdain and contempt. Well, is that true? Is that true? I mean, are Christians being treated with disdain and contempt? Am I doing that? Am I saying that someone who's a fundamentalist Christian, am I treating them horribly? Let me try to make clear, I think, what the problem is here. And it all has to do with tolerating intolerance. I believe we should tolerate everyone except those that are intolerant. But when someone is intolerant, someone doesn't, if a group hates blacks, I'm not going to be tolerant of them. I'm not going to be tolerant of the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm not going to be tolerant of those people who want to impose their religion on everyone else. It's not because I'm against their religion. I'm against the imposition of their religion on everyone else. Toll free, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
This is Ed from New York.
Hey, Ed.
I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, I think I was fascinated to hear about George Washington. I had not heard that before from California. But I can also think of other times in American history when we have swung religiously one time or another. For example, there was the Know Nothing Party.
That's true. Back in the 1830s, I believe.
I'm not exactly sure of the date. That's why I didn't say it.
Yeah, but no, it's back in the 1830s, and they actually ran. It's interesting. They called themselves the Know Nothing, K-N-O-W, nothing. They knew nothing. They didn't want to know anything. They were an active anti-intellectual party that ran for president, and I believe that they even nominated Millard Fillmore. How's that for obscure piece of trivia? But go ahead, Ed.
All right. In any event, I think what has happened here is that this country fluctuates from one extreme to the other, and we always fluctuate within, it's like within the bounds of the middle of the dial. I think when the Republican Party energized the right about 20 years ago and got them involved with the Jerry Falwells and other Christian conservatives. These people thought they had the Ralph Reed. These people thought they had the right to take over the Republican Party, and therefore they had the right to take over the entire nation. It faded during the Clinton administration, and now these people are feeling their oats again.
Well, you say it faded. I think actually they were many of the ones that were behind the moralist crusade against Bill Clinton. They were certainly there in the works funding all those investigations to find out what he did in private in his sex life, and they were the ones who were most angry by his dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. So I don't think it quite faded, but I get your point. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you and I may disagree with that, but I disagree with you on something else.
Okay.
I don't like the word tolerate, and I don't like the word tolerant.
All right.
Because the word tolerate and tolerant means that, well, I really don't like you, but I'll sort of accept you.
That's true.
And I don't believe that this country is based on that. I think this country is based on a different type of thing, and that is all men are created equal. All religions are created equal. All of us are equal. We're no better than anybody else, and I don't have my right to impose my good or bad views on you, and you don't have your right to impose your good or bad views on me. And that's why I object to when organized religions, whether it's Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or anything else, get involved in politics. And I am upset about what you described with regard to the faith-based initiative and the fact that it does allow discrimination.
I hear you, Ed. I think you make a good point on tolerance, and I appreciate your call. Thanks very much. You know, it really is a a question of more than tolerance. There is a difference between tolerance and acceptance. On the blog, there was a long discussion over whether people should tolerate gay people or accept gay people. And obviously, tolerance is a much lower standard. It means that you allow someone to exist. But if you will, my problem with what Shoshana Carden had to say, and this is what I began at the top of the hour, was when she basically, it seemed to me, she was saying that Jews were guests in a wonderful, wonderful host Christian country that allows Jews to practice their religion. It's straight Jews here, which suggests, as Ed points out, that at best, they're guests. We're guests. Jews are guests on Christian turf. And I think the same is true whether it's gay people or blacks or anyone else. Tolerating does not mean accepting as equal partner where we're all working together as Americans. And I guess my point is, and I'll come back and talk a little bit more after the break. If you want to call in, please do, 877-57-SCOOP. But my point is that it's perfectly fair to criticize anyone based on their policy. But it is not fair to criticize anyone based on their religion. It is not my right, if you will, to judge whether someone is a good Christian or a bad Christian or a good Jew or a bad Jew or a good agnostic or Baha'i or not. I don't even know enough about it. I don't even know enough about it to judge. I can, though, judge whether you're being a good American, in my view, whether you believe in liberty and justice and equality for all. And if you do, in my view, you're a good American. And my problem with the fundamentalist Christians, some of them, not all of them by any stretch, not all of them by any stretch, but the ones that want to impose their views on the rest of us, is not their views. It's the imposition of their views on the rest of us. What was Scarborough complaining about? Remember I said Joe Scarborough was complaining about Democrats? Reads, he was asked for an example, another dark age, unquote. Is that an unfair criticism? Is that an anti-religious criticism? Or is that simply a criticism of those who would say that science should trump religion? 877-57-SCOOP, caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, Brian from New Jersey, how are you, sir?
Missed you for those 2 weeks, but you're back.
I'm back. You. Hey, check me out, but I'm going to be on...
It really matters if people are, I guess, issues, but they are not the most important issues, and I think it's ridiculous.
Well, Brian, first of all, that's a great segue to my show tomorrow, where I've got Ken Buchdahl, who's written a book called Dismantling the American Dream. We're going to get into a whole bunch of statistics about the economy and stories and what it is, where our economy is going, and I hope you'll tune in for that.
I will.
But I guess in some ways, despite the fact that I personally agree with you that the economy is far more important. I guess I have to just you and not me. There are everything else the president does is against them. There are people for whom that's the most important thing.
And you know what? I believe that that's unpatriotic. You can't just be a one-person voter because there's more important things than just abortion. And people
who
vote on one issue such as that are extremely uninformed, in my opinion.
Well, Brian, you know, but I guess I disagree with you. I mean, that's your view. But if someone feels so strongly about abortion as the worst, I mean, listen, there are people who believe abortion is murder.
Would you rather have food on your table and water in your pipes, or would you rather have knowing that the fact that somebody can have an abortion out there, what's going to make you more secure, food or knowing that people can't have abortions?
You know, I guess my problem with these kinds of arguments, Brian, and you know that we agree on a lot of things, but
oh, I know.
But my problem with this kind of argument is that there are Democrats as well who don't vote their economic interests. There are certainly many Democrats who have plenty of money. George Soros, let's just give a clear extreme example, someone who has plenty of money who would do better economically under Bush policies than Kerry policies. If you're Christian conservatives who will tell you, Brian, look, I realize some of them have their eyes open, some don't, and for them we try to inform them here on the Inside Scoop. But there are those with their eyes open that say, look, Brian, you're right. You're right. I would do better under a Democratic president than a Republican president. You're right. The middle class is going badly. They probably wouldn't use the word going to hell if they're a Christian conservative, but it's doing badly. I realize I hurt under Bush's economic policies, but I believe that in life at conception so much that I'm willing to sacrifice my own personal good, much as George Soros has, in order to do my moral value. And I guess my view is, as much as I disagree with that person's conclusion, I respect their right to have it.
But not only do you disagree, so does the United States Constitution. We can't be placing laws against people for their choice. We can't be placing laws against people for who they want to marry. I mean, this is what our founders, this is what we based our country on, and now we're going to change it because of a couple of crazy, just radical Christians out there?
Well, no, obviously not. I mean, no, I mean, that is my larger point, is that there's a big difference between believing what you truly believe for yourself and trying to impose those views on others. I would never force someone to have an abortion. You know, I would never force someone to marry a person that they didn't want to marry.
Right.
But allowing other people to marry, allowing other people to do what they want with their bodies, that's a different question. But it's a good point. I guess what's interesting to me is that, and we got into this on the blog, is all the people, and they're not calling it, is somehow horribly anti-Christian. And I guess I would say this. I would say, look, people should be judged based on their views, based on what they support. I guess if I could give advice to those who would argue, and maybe they disagree, don't say that you are against gay marriage because it's wrong, because God says it's wrong, or you are against abortion in all cases because God says life begins at conception. That kind of argument may convince your fellow religious person who believes in the same religion and denomination that you believe, but it's not going to convince me. It's not going to convince other Americans. I don't think it's a proper argument. You can argue if you want. I think it's a silly argument, but you could argue, oh, well, if gay people can get married, less straight people will get married. Or you can argue that, and this I think is a better argument, that the conception, you know, it really is a life and it's valuable, and you can talk about the science of it. That's fair. You can agree or disagree. But to make your arguments based on religion, I think it's what leads to this backlash. And again, it's perfectly fair to have views based on your own religion. I just don't think that you should be making arguments to other people based on your religion.
Right. Religion and politics just should not mix, and that's all there is to it.
Separation of church and state. Hey, thanks
go.
Very much for your call, Brian.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Mark.
It. We're going to go to commercial break. When I come back, I want to tell you about what's coming up because, as I mentioned to Brian, I'm going to be on air tonight in Baltimore, and you will be able to hear it here on the Internet, at least, at www.radioinsidescoop.com. I will be debating a right-wing talk show host by the name of Les Consolving, and I expect a lot of fireworks because the issue is whether universities can prohibit people from the military from recruiting there at their law schools because of the military go in. I happen to think the universities have the free speech right to keep them out. I'll tell you more about it right after these messages.
Teach basic ethics to your children, don't you? You know, the difference between right and wrong. For example, I'm sure you teach them that if they get caught violating a family rule, they shouldn't suffer any consequences, but instead should simply be allowed to change that rule to fit their circumstance. Luckily, you can now hold up Tom DeLay as the role model for your children on this ethical twist. DeLay, the Republican majority leader, keeps smashing into our society's rules with his bullying techniques and constant grabs for more political power for himself and his party. Twice this year, he's been brought up on serious ethical violations, but in both cases, he managed to have his behavior reviewed by the toothless, gutless House Ethics Committee, rather than an outside independent investigator. So he got away with what amounts to, "Please don't do that again, Tom." But now, he faces the real possibility of his ethics being judged outside his own little playhouse. A Texas grand jury has already indicted three of his top aides for laundering illegal corporate campaign funds, and DeLay could be next. His legal problems aside, an indictment would cause a big political problem for Tom since Post. But old Tom didn't get where he is by playing by anyone's fussy rules. So, in his words, he simply, quote, fix the business following the November election, the Republican House caucus dutifully acted to shield their leader by scrapping that pesky ethics rule that would have forced DeLay to step down. As a result, even if he is indicted, he'll still be up there as the House Majority Leader, an ethical model for all our nation's children. This is Jim Hightower saying, actually, having an indicted man as the poster boy of the House Republicans might just be a very appropriate symbol.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We've got just a few minutes left. I want to read some of the comments on the blog about the show today, which is the United States a Christian nation? Tommy writes, I must admit, I love that word fundamentalist. It is used as a negative moniker, but does anyone, especially the people who try to create a negative connotation around it, stop to even think what it means? Fundamentalist means fundamentals, essential, provoke Christian. A person who seeks to adapt the Bible to his or her political ideology or lifestyle so as to fit in. I would proudly word the term fundamentalist Christian because I truly believe in separation of church and state. Well, that's great, Tom, Constitution, to declare the United States a Christian nation and to have officially endorsed religion in our public schools. To me, that's not really the separation of church and state. A person who signs on as oppressed writes, I know I live in a country where many, perhaps most, will seek to impose their beliefs, morals, values, and other notions upon me. They claim their right to do so here and elsewhere. No, I'm not real hot on the idea of declaring this a Christian nation, but then I don't believe in imposing my will on others. I am a Democrat. Wisdom writes, we get our electricity from electrons, and we get our morality from morons. My vote is no, we're not a Christian nation, but I don't think my vote can be verified because of the type of machine I'm using. Summer asks, responding to me when I said, are we merely guests in a fundamentalist Christian America that at best tolerates our heresy? Sumner says, I would like to ask the same question to you, only in reverse. Do you know that many, many Christians feel the same way you do, that at best we are tolerated? There's always two points of view. I maintain we can learn from each other, but not in the negative manner that is happening right now. People are just so prideful and willful and stubborn. Everyone gets their preconceived notions to just hangs on to them no matter what. We can all sit back and say and think and judge who is a real Christian and who isn't. It doesn't matter what we think. We are not the judge. Vicky writes and agrees that no particular sect or denomination decides who's a true Christian. But she argues that if we're not going to teach Christianity in the public schools, we shouldn't be teaching Eastern-type religions either, yoga and so forth. I actually agree with Vicky. I think we should teach all religions or none at all. I actually think that religion should be an elective, something like that. And Summer actually, at one point in the blog, gets very upset, writes in all caps, one question for all you mockers of Christians and Christianity, please just consider this. What if Christians, what they believe is true, and all they are saying turns out just like they believe it will, then what? Summer, I guess I would say, I think Christians disagree on what they believe. And so you're going to have to be more specific. I want you to tune in tonight. We've got a special show tonight. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with Les Consolving. He's been a broadcaster for 35 years. He's a White House correspondent. He's on the air in Baltimore in a very large radio station. I expect he'll get lots of his callers. Be nice to have some of mine in. The show begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 2 hours, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. That's 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific. You can catch it just by going to the Internet. Go to www.radioinsidescoop.com. Click Listen Live, and you will hear the show live. The phone number to call in is right there on the Internet. Tomorrow is author Ken Buchdahl talking about dismantling the American dream. And then Friday, I'm on Sound Off with Sasha, 1 hour early, 2 p.m. We're going to talk about the rotten things that are going on in Congress. It's all there on the Internet at radioinsidescoop.com. So please tune in tonight at 8 p.m. And until